don't, please don't do something religious. I'll explain on this edition of Key Light.
Hey, if you're into Stuffy, turn off the radio now, because this is Key Light, designed to be honest, straightforward, and street smart. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, we're going through the Older Testament, and I'm your tour director. We're spending 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less, in each of the Old Testament books. And I'm doing that because sometimes Christians carry a little New Testament around and think that's the Bible. That's just part of it. It's the addendum. It's the thing that explains a lot of stuff. But you got to know the plot, and the plot's found in the Older Testament. And so we're taking time to do some study in the Older Testament to give you some handles that will help you understand, appreciate, and see grace and love and God's awesome unconditional care for his people in the Older Testament. And yesterday we looked at 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, and that's where Jezebel is really, really upset with old Elijah. And old Elijah is really, really afraid, and then he gets depressed. He goes out to Beersheba, and he just says, God, I want to die. You ever get so down, you just say, I want to die. I want to go home. I want to just go home. I don't like this place anymore. Beam me up, Scotty. I can't stand this anymore. Well, that's what Elijah was going through. And if you've never experienced that or felt that, you probably got your head in the sand or living in denial. Denial is not a river in Egypt. And we saw a principle yesterday, if you were with us. And this is the principle. Some people are never so dangerous as they are after defeat. And we'll talk a little bit more about that today. Yesterday, we talked about some people are never so vulnerable as they are the day after victory. It's called the Elijah syndrome, the spiritual postpartums. Listen to me. If you have been used of God, watch it. If you've been successful, a big business deal, if things have really gone well for you and you've been up, prepare yourself, because generally following that is a time of vulnerability, and there is, at that point, opportunity for Satan, and opportunity psychologically for you to take a nosedive. Now, I'm telling you this so you can prepare yourself for it. If I do good in something, if I go to a conference and think, you know, that was so good, I was taking notes on myself, I can call it. I'm awfully vulnerable to things at that time. So I get on my knees, and you should too, and say, Lord, that thing went really good. That business deal was so fine. I played tennis so well. I broke par 3 times for 3 straight Saturdays. Lord, the church is growing and things are so fine. That's when you need to get on your knees, not so much when you bombed. Get on your knees. Remember the Elijah syndrome and stay with it. Now, let me just say a word. Well, let me say a word about why God does that. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 12:7 if you need a further explanation. Paul says, and to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being elated. Listen. God keeps reminding us that we're not God. And it's very important, maybe the most important thing that we do, to remember that we aren't God. And so just as Paul and just as Elijah, there is something that follows that reminds us of our mortality and our downness. Now let me just give you the flip side of that. Remember the principle, some people are never so vulnerable to depression, being down, as they are after a victory. But the other side of it is some people are never so dangerous as they are the day after defeat. Sometimes in the morning, I pray for our nation. You know, that's fairly new to me. I mean, I've always nodded in God's direction and said, bless our leaders and, you know, do good stuff and bring revival and do it again and that kind of thing. But it's been kind of a cursory mention that I do in my prayers because, you know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to do that stuff. But of late, in my own prayer life, I've really felt called to pray for our nation. And just before we sat down to do this broadcast, Eric, the producer, and I were talking, and he brought up a statement on AOL that absolutely, in fact, we had to pray about it before. We were both so angry, we were spitting. There was some twit. Don't write me letters. I've already repented in my heart. But some twit had written this thing about a ministry in Texas where they administered inappropriately corporal punishment. And then this twit, I know, I'm repenting already, then wrote this thing that's on the opening page of AOL on the day we're recording this, saying that any faith-based ministry that the government would ever help will just torture your children, so don't do this kind of thing. And Eric and I, he had steam coming out of his ears when I went into the control room, and he said, let me show you something. He said, doesn't that really make you mad? And it did. And then we realized, you can't teach God's word in a loving, kind way, and you can't be the producer of this program and be that mad at them. But it's that kind of thing. There is blasphemy across the land. I mean, the pagans are mean. They're angry. They're out. Isn't that bad? No, that's good. Because you see, some people are never so dangerous as they are the day after defeat, or as dangerous as they are close to defeat. Let me tell you something, just so you know. God's doing something in our country. And I'm not making a political statement. He really is. I get to a lot of different places, and we were in California and not too long ago, and man, God's doing some good stuff across our country. So it shouldn't surprise you, as Satan's defeat becomes apparent, that the people who are defeated get quite angry. Well, enough about that. Let me continue as the tour director of First Kings. Let's stay in the 19th chapter. Look at verses 5 through 7. And he, that's Elijah, we've just been talking about, lay down and slept under a broom tree. Don't ask. I don't know what a broom tree is. I can see them, you know. No, never mind. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked of hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate, and he drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, else the journey will be too great for you. Now, frankly, I don't want to make too much of this, but you find this in a lot of places in the Scripture. So, and this is not going to sound very religious, but I want you to listen to me because it's important. It's interesting that in the middle of Elijah's spiritual depression, God didn't say, read the Bible. God didn't say, you wouldn't be so down if you prayed a little bit more. He didn't say, Elijah, go to your synagogue, talk to your rabbi. He didn't say, study the Pentateuch. What did God say for Elijah to do when he was down? He said, eat this cake. Drink up. And sometimes that which we see as spiritual depression is nothing more or less than a lack of seeing our physical needs and focusing too much on our own situation. Sleep. You know, if you don't get enough sleep, that's the greatest cause in this world for depression. If you don't eat properly, you're going to look like me. If you don't do the things that are necessary to maintain yourself, you're messing with the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, do that stuff. Don't read the Bible. Eat something. Don't stay up all night in a season of prayer. God already knows. He'll stay up. You go on to sleep. Because you need to sleep in order to serve Him. One of my great heroes, Robert McShane, used greatly of God in the early days of this country. And I don't want to go off on that too much, but he used to say, God, use me up. And God did. He died when he was a young man. And I've admired that kind of commitment. But I've also thought it was a dumb kind of commitment. And Robert McShane could have stayed around another 40 years if he'd just slept a little bit more, ate a little bit more cake, and done less religious stuff. Now, I know, God is sovereign. And I know that. And I know we're called to be committed. I'm not taking that away. But sometimes, you know, at night, if I'm going through a really tough time, I can't read the Bible. because if I read the Bible, I can't sleep. Yes, I am a Christian. I am saved, so don't send me letters. I mean, I pray at night, kind of a nod. My wife and I pray together before we go to, but it's a really short prayer. I have to do something mindless, because if I start focusing on the day and crying out to God about it, dear friend, I'm not going to get any sleep. And the next morning, I'm going to be angry and frustrated and depressed. And then I'm going to start yelling at the staff at Key Life. And then this entire ministry is going to go down, and God's kingdom will come to an abrupt end all because I prayed. No, I don't believe I should have said that. But let me tell you something. Sometimes God says don't do anything more spiritual than just eat. Just sleep. Don't focus on this. I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. You can trust me. I've never blown it in the past. I'm probably not going to blow it now. Now, go to a movie. Just leave it alone for a while. You're driving me nuts, too. I don't think God says that. But I think sometimes that's the sense when we are so obsessive about our being God. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen up. If you haven't been listening, listen to this. I've worked out a deal, we've worked out a deal with Christianity Today Incorporated, so you can receive 7 months of Christianity Today magazine free, no obligation, no billing, no automatic renewal. Now, at the end, they're going to ask you to renew, but you can say no, there won't be any pressure. And this is a magazine that you ought to have, and you're not going to get something like this again. This is free, so... But you got to let me know. Give me your name and address, and I'll make sure they get it at Christianity Today, and you'll start receiving the magazine. Trust me on this. This is good. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call 24 hours a day. You can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. You can write Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, M3H5M3. You can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And what I told you is just free. But since we did this for you, I would think you'd want to send some money. No, I know most of you can't. But if you can, this is a very expensive ministry, and I certainly would appreciate it. For any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching as my thank you, the word for the discouraged. I got to go. Listen, whenever you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of this station. Remember, you can use your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card when you give, and Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.